This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Locker cleanout continuing for the Buffalo Sabres. Team season unfortunately ending with the 14th straight year. No playoffs, as the Stanley Cup playoffs will begin later tonight, and the Buffalo Sabres are packing their stuff to head home, unfortunately.
Very unfortunate, though Stanley Cup playoffs are one of the more exciting sporting events to watch, so that'll be fun that it's starting tonight. Exciting.
Well, we've heard from Josh Norris, Bo Byram, J.J. Paterka, amongst others, that will continue to talk throughout the day, and we'll be carrying player sound throughout, as well as hear from head coach Lindy Ruff and general manager Kevin Adams. The team announced that they will speak approximately at 4:30. We'll carry that live here on WGR, and we'll also talk with Brian Koziel, not just coming up next, but in about the 3 o'clock hour, we will have ourselves a roundtable, and then Brian and Paul will help join us for coverage throughout the afternoon. Elsewhere in the NHL, the Anaheim Ducks firing head coach Greg Cronin after 2 seasons. Playoffs starting tonight. St. Louis against Winnipeg, 6 o'clock faceoff. Colorado against Dallas, 8:30.
That'd be a spicy game to start things up.
Mikko Rantanen Bowl.
Yes. Yes.
So to say.
That'll be good.
NBA play-in round. The Miami Heat elevate from the 10th seed to claim the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. Meanwhile, Memphis downs Dallas to earn their place in the postseason out west. 5 days from the start of the NFL draft. Don't forget that Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase are going to be taking over Resurgence Brewing on Thursday, April 24th at 7 o'clock. Tickets are $45. They will include pizza, all-you-can-drink beer, and well drinks. And you can enjoy live analysis, huge TVs, crystal clear sound so that you don't miss a single pick. And hopefully, one at 30 for the Buffalo Bills.
Or earlier.
Local vendors, giveaways all night at Resurgence Brewing on Thursday, including an all-inclusive fantasy football party for 12 at Resurgence Brewing. Get your tickets for Thursday night while you still can at resurgencebrewing.com. That's your Paddock Chevrolet Sports Update. Paddock Chevrolet, celebrating 90 years of being your hometown dealership. You're listening to WGR.
And I think being able to be brutally honest with a guy, if you don't think he's giving his best to help the group, you should hear it. And I think if you're not receptive of that, then you're not helping the team. But I don't think we had any of that. I think there's multiple times throughout the year. I mean, I'll be brutally honest. I think me and Dawes give it to each other more than anybody. And I respect that because I know that he wants to win. And I know that's his way of saying he needs more from me.
That was Tate Thompson. Good little sound bit there. And we'll play that back coming up in the next segment.
In its entirety. It'll be a good listen if you didn't catch it. He says a lot of good things. So
a lot of good things, including in that clip there. And I'd say this is a time as good as any to bring in our friend Brian Koziel, who will be with us for a little bit of a preview of it, but also then very much in the thick of it with us closer to 3 o'clock. Brian, good afternoon.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. It's been an eventful day for the Sabres here, yesterday and today, I guess.
Eventful for the Sabres, not just that, but also for you. You had Tita Green this morning. You'll be on later to help out closing the Sabres locker room cleanout. So a long day for everyone involved here.
Yeah, I think this time of the year, obviously, when the season ends, it would be much more exciting today if we were sitting here talking about game one of a playoff series.
Oh, yeah.
I look forward. I really, really, really look forward to when that happens. Every year I feel like maybe next year's the year, and then for whatever reason, obviously it doesn't happen. This year, because the free fall for the Sabres happened so quickly, it really didn't even feel like we had an opportunity to even amp up like meaningful game talk at all, because it was exciting to see that they had turned around their poor start. They had that nice three-game win streak out in California. They gotten themselves all the way up to third place in the Atlantic. And then they came home, and then the free fall started. We know the 13-game winless streak. And going from late November to December 16th, so in a span of about 3 weeks, they fell from 2 points out of second in the Atlantic to dead last and remained there until mid-March. So, I mean, it felt over much sooner than maybe it had been in years past. At least in years past, you felt like, oh, they had moved up, they moved down, they moved up. No, they were stagnantly in the bottom of the East from December 16th all the way through mid-March. So essentially 3 straight months of being dead last in the East. And, you know, although there was some talk here and there when they started to play a little better of, hey, you know, could they get back in? It mathematically, it never was realistic at all to have that conversation. And I think that's why we're getting, I think, more reflective comments from these players, because they've played quite a bit of this season now with themselves essentially being eliminated. And I think that they have now maybe tried to figure out, well, what works, what doesn't work, who wants to be here, who needs to be moved, all these sort of things. Like, we've had more of that regular season than we've had in quite a while. We've had other seasons where they obviously have been out of it, but there's been other ulterior motives, whether it's not like, well, hey, we're trying to get the number one draft pick overall, the tank season, or there's been some other years where we're sitting here trying to figure out, is the coach going to get fired? Is the GM going to get fired? Like, as of this moment, it seems like all is intact, and a lot of these players for a team that had been in last for most of the year seem pretty upbeat about what could be. And I understand why there's skepticism, and I have it too, as to why or how hard you should believe a lot of what we're hearing. I mean, we're hearing a lot of self-reflection on the blame side of things, and then we're also hearing a lot of, well, what could be once we finally kind of, quote, played the way we're supposed to. So I know I kind of went in big circles there, but ultimately it's a little different end of the season for me, because it's been essentially meaningless games now for 3 straight months here, and it's definitely felt like it's been a lot longer than normal.
Yeah, it was unique in that way of, like, once they hit that kind of a losing streak and fell into the last place spot in the Eastern Conference, it's just near impossible to come back from that. And but then I looked back at a specific date, Brian, Sunday, February 2nd, and I remember hearing you on my way home after I'd watched the game, and it was against New Jersey. It's when Tage Thompson gets hit in the head. The team does not have a response. They nearly collapse their lead because of it. And then about a month later, in a 7-3 loss against Detroit, I kind of got my answer of, maybe things are actually going to be different around here and the locker room actually makes sense now, because they lose 7-3 to Detroit, but they would be damned if they let the Red Wings push them around.
And that's definitely, I think, part of what we've seen in this tail end of the season, where we've thought that maybe they've learned how to play properly. And a layer of learning how to play properly is being a team and sticking up for one another in a sport like hockey, where that has a role. There's other sports where you could say it means more or means less. I think in hockey it means more, and they seem to be willing to come together more in that facet, to stick up for each other physically. But also, I think that mentality carried over to just hockey in its sense. They had each other's back a little bit more on the defensive end. They had a little each other's back in terms of maybe helping out their goaltender. They had each other's back a little bit more in terms of puck decision making. We know Lindy Ruff uses the line puck management all the time. I think it kind of all spiraled into the sense that they all need to be a little bit more self-accountable for themselves, which in turn means for each other. So I think that's why the hockey improved too. I think you're right. I think that moment of the Thompson thing, although it was a huge negative mark on the season, it may have finally hit home with some of the younger group on this players of maybe what it takes to win, albeit whether it's sticking up for a teammate after the whistle, whether it's clearing a guy out in front of the net who's bothering your goaltender who's trying to see the puck, whether it's selfishly maybe trying to go around somebody and turning it over versus, hey, I'm going to dump it in and make the smart play here, and then the two of us are going to go into the corner together and win this battle kind of thing. They all kind of made smarter decisions as the year went on too. how much of that can carry over to next year? Well, I think that's obviously the million-dollar question, is can they continue to play what we saw for the most part over the last month right away on day one? Lindy Ruff said it after the Philadelphia game here the other night. He said, my biggest talk with these players during their exit interviews is, what is it going to take so that on night one, on day one of the season next year, you are ready to go and play the right way, the way that we've learned can be successful? So that, obviously, we'll have to wait till October to find out. But at least I'm hoping that at least these younger players that haven't really won a lot have figured out what it does take to win. Whether you have faith that they'll actually do it over 82 games, I'm fine with you questioning that. I think anybody could have any right to question that because they haven't done it for a considerable a long period. But at least I think, for the most part, the core group of younger players on this team that haven't really, quote, learned how to win, I think they at least found out what it takes to win. Now they just got to do it ready to go on night one and try to do it over 82 games.
Brian, this morning things got a little bit spicier. I sent a group text to with the three of us in there, and it had something to do with Elliot Friedman's notes on the Sabres in his 32 Thoughts podcast, thinking that there will be changes in the front office and believing that some of the staff around Kevin Adams will change, and possibly even a title change for Adams as well, to no longer necessarily be the day-to-day general manager. I doubt that that sort of thing would suddenly get announced today, but if that was something that would end up happening, what would you think the message would be from the organization from there?
Well, I think Terry Pegula values Kevin Adams in the sense that he includes him. And I think some fans would say good, some fans would say bad. I go back and forth in how much you want your owner to be involved. I think there's a happy medium. You want your owner, as I've said many times, to publicly show that he cares about the team, he understands what the fans are going through, and that you'll want to give the message that he'll do whatever it takes in order to accomplish winning. Ultimately, that's what everybody wants. The GM, the coach, the players, the fans, they want the team to be successful on the ice. But you also, I think, have to be careful that it doesn't look like you are undermining your general manager that you hired to run the organization, or that it makes him look weak in some capacities because he has to go run everything through you. And I think that's right now where I'm not quite sure where they're at in that line. Is Kevin Adams there because he's the most qualified for the job that Terry Pegula can find, and he thinks he's truly the best man for the job? Or is Kevin Adams there because he and Terry have a very, very, very close relationship, and Terry likes working with Kevin on hockey-related things, and he likes the fact that he runs everything by him, and he likes the fact that he talks about the team with him on a daily basis? That part, I'm not quite sure how much you want to show that the owner is involved without letting the GM be the GM. And I wonder if maybe that's why we still haven't had a president of hockey operations all these years that fans have been hoping for. It's not necessarily that you have to have somebody, but ultimately you want the person that either is labeled as team president or labeled as general manager or label it however you want to, that he ultimately has final say. You know, and I'm not quite sure ultimately who has final say with the Sabres, whether it's Kevin Adams or Terry Pegula. And if you'd want even Terry Pegula to have final say, I mean, we know we've seen owners with other franchises and other sports where having the owner be involved heavily and have the final say, Dallas Cowboys, has not worked out. So I don't know necessarily. I think you want to know that the owner is alive and well and present and cares. But also at the same time, I don't want the owner having essentially control over hockey decisions. It should be whoever you hire to be in charge, that should be ultimately the person. And I get mixed messages from the Sabres because you get these things where Kevin Adams will say, well, I talk with Terry every day. And well, you know, even on their own team embedded series where we see Kevin Adams talking trades and like, well, now it's cut to the phone where he calls Terry about it. Now, is that a bad thing that he's talking to the owner? Not necessarily. But is it because Terry's got to okay it? Does Terry have involvement in terms of how much money is being spent? That part to me is the gray area where ultimately I'm not quite sure if I know exactly who's making every single decision about everything here. And I think that's maybe where fans can ultimately question whether or not Kevin Adams is the right man for the job.
Brian, speaking of hockey decisions, the goaltending position has been a central conversation point at the end of the season with Lukanen's regression a little bit from the season before. Do you see him as the starting goaltender next season, or is there a name out there that you're really looking at as a possible replacement? Because we don't know if Levi will be ready to come in and step in to the starter. What are your thoughts on that?
The unrestricted free agent goalie list is not good for next year. So I don't think that's a route that you can just go out and throw money at goalies for next year. So that to me is not something that I'm interested in. Frederick Anderson, Cam Talbot, Martin Jones, Aiden Hill, Antti Raanta, like Kaapo Kähkönen, like, no, I don't think any of these guys I'm interested in that capacity. So it's one of two things. You go with who you have or you have to make a trade. And ultimately, I think it's going to be one of two. I think it's going to be Devon Levi. In my opinion, it's going to be Devon Levi is going to get his opportunity to be the number one. They have given him a couple of cracks early in his career, probably too early in his career, and he didn't necessarily grab stranglehold of it. He's been sent to Rochester a couple of times, and now, of course, this season he spent the bulk of the time with the Amerks. More proper development, I think, as it should be. And he's put up outstanding numbers in the AHL. Ryan Miller-like numbers, the last time we've seen these good numbers with the Sabres organization at the AHL level. So here's to hoping that he has a long playoff run here to play in more pressure-filled playoff hockey, try and go win a Calder Cup with the Amerks. And I think it'll be an opportunity for Levi to take the job next year. Now, Lukanen, we know last year showed glimpses of looking like a number one goaltender. There were not many games this year that he did. And I think that's why maybe you're hearing, you know, others say, oh, Lukanen could be available, hear this and that. I still think it's because ultimately they think the highest ceiling is with Levi. So I wouldn't be stunned if it was just Levi and Lukanen and best man gets first up in the regular season. I think ultimately they would love it if Levi just came in and dominated in training camp and preseason and ended up being the number one goalie. I mean, they gave up Sam Reinhart in order to get a big piece of that trade with Florida was to get Devon Levi. So I still think ultimately that's where it's going to end up. The free agent pool for unrestricted free agent goalies is not strong, in my opinion. If you're going to sign a veteran backup, I think you're just going to talk James Reimer into coming back. I don't think they'll go anywhere else, especially because it's a known commodity who's well-liked in the room. So if they want to go that route, I think that's where they could end up. If you end up wanting to trade, if you find a trade with Lukanen, and you have utmost confidence that Levi can handle the job and Reimer would be there right alongside, well, then maybe that's your combo for next year. But I don't see it being with a big splash, either UFA or trade. I think it's probably Levi's job to win, and they hope that it's his, that he takes it over. And then if Lukanen's here, well, he's the other guy, and if not, they trade him, and then Reimer ends up being the backup.
Well, some more on the trade part there. The other thing from Elliot Friedman on the 32 Thoughts was he believes that teams suspect Lukanen is available for a trade as well. So there might be an interesting little thing there of potentially, hey, maybe they trade Lukanen for an upgrade in net and they're able to sell another team on, hey, this is a young goaltender. He does have a season worth of success. If you think you can unlock it, but we also are in a position of strength of we have two young goaltenders, we're picking one over the other.
And that ultimately should help Kevin Adams in a trade. You're right. I think a lot of that is on a perfect level. You would know that Levi would be putting up the success that he's doing in NHL games, not AHL games. But I guess ultimately, if you feel like, yes, he's ready, we're very confident in it, then if the right trade is there this season, I wouldn't be hesitant to pull the trigger for sure, especially knowing that, well, maybe Levi doesn't have to play 60 games. If James Reimer says, I would like to play another season, and you have the right offer on the table for Lukanen, then do it. There's no, you know, you have Levi. If he goes through stretches where he struggles, well, look, you just had proof this year that James Reimer can play, you know, 10 out of 12 games and handle it very well. So I think ultimately maybe in my perfect world, you get a really good trade with Lukanen involved, and his contract's tradable.
Yeah,
you get a trade there that gets you a piece that helps you maybe get a defenseman to play with Owen Power or helps you package something together to get a top six forward. And then ultimately Levi comes in, it looks great, and he's your number one, and James Reimer is there to be your number two. to play very little when Levi's playing great, and maybe a little bit more when Levi needs to kind of have a reset button. I think ultimately that's the best case scenario.
Brian, I think we'll let you go so that you can recharge here and be ready to join us again once we hit 3 o'clock.
Sounds great, guys. Yep, we got a long day ahead of us, but we're looking forward to talking later on, and then we'll get into Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff. I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions even about what you just mentioned, what Elliot Friedman reported. So be very, very curious to see what Kevin Adams has to say today. So looking forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you, Brian. Brian Koziel joining us on the West Her Hotline. Locker cleanout rolls on. We're going to take a timeout in a few minutes. Maybe stick around.
803-0550, the number to call as well. Yeah, there's a lot that's going on here that is noteworthy.
Yeah, especially with just what the players are saying. I mean, you've heard the clip of Tage Thompson. You're going to hear that in full in the next segment. Many other players have spoken already to the media today. So there's a lot. There's a lot you're going to hear broken down. And inevitably, it's all leading up to Kevin Adams, Lindy Ruff addressing the media today, coming up later this afternoon, which, I mean, it's going to be interesting after the Elliot Friedman piece, if anything is touched on upon that. I mean, you just heard Brian Koziel talking about it. It's kind of unlikely a big announcement like that is made within the day, but it might be something to look forward to for the future, I guess. And will there truly be a president of hockey operations? Will there ever be that position, or is it Terry Pegula? So I think we're gonna get that answer sooner rather than later, if you will. But
yeah, I think though I will be interested who floats the Friedman things out there at the presser.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna go unspoken by any means.
I would imagine someone's gonna lob it out there. I hope someone does. But I think we got a moment to get connected with our fans, would you say?
I do think we have a moment to get connected with our
fans. We have time to get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll head to the phones. We'll go to Tom in Amherst. Tom, how you doing? Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got?
Well, you're talking about a veteran defenseman for Owen Power.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just thinking, like, who would that be? Would you want, like, a guy that's going to teach him how to be nasty in front of the net, which is what I'm thinking, or, you know, a guy that's going to help him offense. I don't think he needs help offensively, so I answered my own question.
Well, Tom, I think I'll help you out here with it like this. And thanks for the call, by the way. Nastiness, first of all, comes with age. The more you live through, the nastier you are. That is typically how it goes in life. How many of us as children were mean? Or as mean as we are now, or as miserable as we are now.
Yeah, you're like, normally a pretty wide-eyed child. You know, things until life starts happening, that doesn't start going the
other way.
Nastiness
comes with age. Look at Rasmus Dahlin, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The type of defenseman, I want a guy who is responsible in his own end and can allow Power to flourish and showcase his offensive abilities while teaching him the responsibilities in his own end. Nastiness comes with time. I do genuinely believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can look at Dahlin for the perfect example.
Yeah, you need a veteran partner that would complement Power strength. So maybe a little more defensive,
if not,
first mindset and a physical presence.
If not for the fact that he's a left-handed shot, I would love the idea of Travis Sanheim just as the type of player that he is.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give up a premium asset to do that, though. You're not getting Travis Sanheim for nothing. And typically for a top four defenseman, you need to do that. Like, it's the answer. You have to give up a good asset to get a good asset. That's just how business works. That said, I haven't seen a hockey trade that Kevin Adams has made that I have hated.
No, the pure hockey trades have actually been
in his favor.
And yeah, because if you just even look at how many teams they've been on, Mittelstadt's already moved to team three since leaving Buffalo.
Even though Josh Norris has not played much for the Sabres, he only got in three games before this oblique injury happened.
Right. It's not the shoulder injury that was nagging him either, so it's a different kind of injury.
I will say, though, Jacob Bernard-Docker is a pretty good temporary stopgap in case of injuries mm-hmm. in your top four.
Yep.
He could play with Power because Power did start playing more responsibly when he had Bernard-Docker with him. I do think there's an avenue there. But again, I want a player that is, he has more balance to his game. Henry Jokiharju, not very responsible in his own end.
No.
Oftentimes, that would lead to defensive breakdowns with him in power, and it would just end up in disaster, and it's in your own net.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of player that I'm looking for.
I
think of Sanheim in Philadelphia as a perfect example, because Philadelphia is one of the few teams that finished below you in the standings. They need a proper reset. But there are plenty of players like that that you can acquire. That's the mold I'm looking for, though, is a guy like that.
Yeah.
A Travis Sanheim who, he does have a little nastiness to his game,
mm-hmm.
but he also can put you 35 to 40 points in a season, but also be a defensively responsible player in his own end and not be giving you trouble left and right in your own end.
Right, not being a jeopardizing factor to puck control in your own end. And like you said, physical presence.
Yeah, if I can get 30 points from a guy,
yeah,
and he's solid in his own end and he helps power develop within the defensive zone, I'm for that. The other thing I need is I need the Sabres to get a new assistant for the defense.
Mm-hmm. Well, you hear the whole, you know, the coaching, not the coaching, the office changes could be coming. We don't know about coaching office changes. So
there should be.
There should be. But we don't know exactly what's going on with that. But we're going to find out if anything's going to happen later this afternoon. But we're going to take a quick timeout. You're going to hear Tage Thompson on the other side. Joe Cali, Derek Kramer, you're listening to Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday, Hour 2. We're going to head to Sabres Locker Cleanout. As yesterday, 40 goal scorer Tage Thompson addressed the media. Here are his comments.
Tage, I can only imagine this is a day you hate, you know, especially having it come in April. What was the message you got basically by talking to Lindy and talking to Kevin Adams for moving forward?
Yeah, obviously, this day is never fun. I think the message is just, I think what everyone else is thinking is time to win. And obviously that's been said multiple times, but there really is only one thing to do, and it's move forward. So that's what we're going to do.
Tage, when you look at carrying over, you can't carry what one season ended into the next. But how much of these last 20 or so games can you carry some of the attitudes into next season? The way you guys bonded together as a team after the New Jersey thing, the way you guys developed an attitude playing at home, how much can those kind of things carry into another season?
Well, they can always carry over. I think that's something when you don't have a winning season that you try to take is that that you can get something out of every single game. And there's lessons in the adversity that you go through and the experiences that you have, and I think that's how you grow. So if you don't take anything out of it, then you're gaining nothing. So I think for us to take things that we've gone through as a group, you know, throughout the course of the season, although it hasn't been a year anyone is proud of, when you face those same challenges or situations in the following season, you know how to attack them. So I definitely do think that there is carryover from this season to the next.
Tage, how do you not let the years and years of missing the playoffs pile on and wear on you as a player?
It's a great question. I think that's kind of the thing you sign up as a pro athlete. I think you got to be mentally tough, and I think if you're not, you're going to get weeded out. So I think it's just trying to, like I kind of just said there, take things that you can learn from and grow as a player and as a person that's going to help your team win. And I think that at the end of the day, that's all you can do.
What was the transformation over the last 20 games, maybe 5 weeks or so, that, you know, you guys found that groove that you hadn't had? Just what, you know, what was the difference, I guess?
I think just a little more maturity in our game. I think obviously we got a lot of young guys that are chasing personal goals and achievements, and that's great. I have them, you know, just like everybody else, and
But I think at the same time, there needs to be a time and place to do the right thing with the puck and away from the puck. And I'm a huge part of that too. I haven't been nearly good enough at that and need to continue to get better. But I think when you get together every, you know, handful of days to kind of reinforce that as a mentality, I think that kind of just carries over into the games. And I think we just made a decision that, you know, we were mathematically eliminated and we were going to try to get something out of these remaining games and not let them go to waste.
You say get together. Was the players meeting together? Or like, what was this, I guess?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. I think there was a handful of guys that met with Lindy and met together as a team as well and put together a game plan and approach what we thought needed to be done and basically set little goals for ourselves.
We've heard a lot about buy-in, Tage, and that's been a big difference. Why do you think it took a while, you know, too long to get to that point where everybody was, you know, rowing in the same direction, for lack of a better phrase?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know if I really have the answer for you because I think that's just individual, right? It's got to be a mentality. You can try to pull guys in with you, right? But at the end of the day, it's got to be. You talk about accountability. That's, I think, looking inward first, right? So it's got to be a decision that everyone in the room makes, and you can always try to pull guys out that direction. But I think towards the end there, I think you saw a lot more guys doing the right things at the right time.
Naturally, just with the ups and downs of the season, I mean, the winless streak you guys went through was negativity something that you guys as a group had to fend off, you know, as a leadership group to make sure that that didn't eat away at, you know, what you were trying to accomplish?
No, for sure. Yeah, there's a lot of negativity. I think that's how those things happen. I think negativity breeds negativity. I think positivity breeds positivity. And it's one of those situations when things aren't going right and you let that negativity affect you and it can just snowball into something, right? So I think for us, it was one of those situations that we kind of let one mistake turn into two, one game turn into two, and it kind of just piled on. And then when you're faced with that same situation, you don't know how to get out of it. You just know what's already occurred. And that kind of becomes a default until it's too late. So it was definitely a tough window and obviously a window that killed our season. So tough stretch.
Anytime you have a new coach, you're gonna have small tweaks, I guess, to how you play and systems and things like that. How do you feel like it went as far as players adjusting to the new system and maybe also Lindy kind of adjusting to the players as well?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the problem when you have, you know, so many different coaches is you learn their systems, what their style, what they look for, and then likewise what the coach is looking for in all the players, gets to know the players' personalities, their the way they carry themselves off the ice, what makes them tick. So I think, yeah, there's definitely a little adjustment period, and I think you probably see a little bit more of that comfortability and I guess grasping of what system that we wanted to run out there as we got further along into the season.
Paige, how do you collectively as a team, I guess, fix the power play or more so find consistency on the power play?
Yeah. I think the power play is something that's kind of like, you know, you talk about the losing streak with negativity or frustration, whatever you want to call it. It's one of those things where it can snowball and, you know, you let that affect you. And I think power plays are one of those things where you usually have, you know, your five best goal scorers or playmakers out there, and they're usually pretty streaky. And I think when you let that frustration carry over, it can, same thing, snowball into something. And then when you get a power play and you're jumping over the boards, you're like thinking about not messing it up or is it going to work? And I think you know, for us, we were definitely fighting an uphill battle every time we got a power play this year, just with frustration. And I think once we simplified and just try to get pucks to the net and crash and get rebounds and not try to do too much. I think you have a tendency to overcomplicate things and try to do too much and force stuff when things aren't going your way instead of simplifying. And I think that's kind of the situation we got ourselves into, is we didn't start hot. And to try to get ourselves out of that mess, I think we tried to overcomplicate things when we were on the ice and wait for that perfect play instead of just putting pucks in the net and making them make a save and winning a rebound race and reloading it and getting it back to the top for another shot.
You played a lot more wing this year. You know, some of that was injury at first, but Lindy seemed to like kind of how that fit. How did you like that change, and what's your thought on it, I guess, moving forward in your career?
Yeah, I'm comfortable in the middle. I'm comfortable on the wing. So wherever they want me to play is fine by me, and had no problems.
For you to, your line mates were 19 and 20. I mean, but you guys produced. I mean, what was it like for you to play with guys so young and help them along, but yet still be able to produce the way you did?
Well, they made it easy for me. They're both two really hardworking kids that want to get better, and I love playing with them. They work extremely hard. They have a good knowledge of the game. Both of them play both sides of the puck. They don't cheat. So for me, it was just, a little bit of a privilege, honestly, trying to play, play with them and try to help grow their game and, you know, try to, I guess, teach them a little bit, but, they made it easy for me. Obviously they're both incredible players and have, you know, insane skills. So, for me, it was a lot of fun playing with them.
Feel about last year, accountability was a big issue. How did you feel that changed this year, and how much did it improve?
Yeah, I thought the accountability was better. I think there's always room to grow, especially with accountability, right? Like I said, it starts with looking in the mirror first before you can hold someone else accountable. So I thought we had a lot of guys that do take, you know, these losses and these losing seasons very, very hard, and that want to try to fix it. And I thought, you know, you see that a lot, this year as you're going through that tough stretch, that 13 game losing streak, guys trying to, you know, dig their ways out of it, just doing extra stuff you guys don't get to see. I won't get into details, but doing extra, trying to find ways to better themselves, to help the team. So I think a lot of that accountability is not seen in game. It's seen behind the scenes. I do think there is a lot of it.
You guys help each other through that because everybody's kind of learning because everybody's still pretty young.
Yeah, I think honestly just being open with each other, I think it's kind of an environment where if you're not willing to take criticism or get called out by a guy, then you're kind of in the wrong business. And I think being able to be brutally honest with a guy, if you don't think he's giving his best to help the group, you should hear it. And I think if you're not receptive of that, then you're not helping the team. But I don't think we had any of that. I think there's multiple times throughout the year. I mean, I'll be brutally honest. I think me and Dolls give it to each other more than anybody. And I respect that because I know that he wants to win, and I know that's his way of saying he needs more from me. So, I think that's kind of the accountability you're talking about. And, I appreciate when he does that.
Answer what I was going to ask you, cause you're right. There's a lot we don't see. What kind of leader are you? Cause you are a key leader. Are you a vocal guy? Are you a guy that is vocal, or are you more watch me on the ice and watch what I do type of a leader? What kind of leader are you?
I try to be vocal, but I think it's a little easier to be vocal when your actions are on display. And I think for me, I try to let my actions speak first. And I think if I'm going, then I think I've got the right to say something. I think as a leader, though, I don't know. I mean, I'm still learning, right? Like I'm pretty new to this and still trying to grow and get better. But I think for me, my job's trying to make Dolls' life a little bit easier as a captain. And I think just pull our guys in in the right direction to try to win. And I think for me, that's keeping the locker room light, especially when things are, you know, pretty dark, and making it fun to come to the rink and compete and work. And I think, yeah, just trying to be the hardest worker in practices and games and kind of leading the way that way.
H, how different do you expect training camp to be this year? You're not going to have a new coach. You're not going to have a weird schedule going to Europe and jamming in exhibition games and making that trip and starting over there. It wasn't really conducive to a great start to the season. How much can everything be different in this training camp, knowing what you know about Lindy and the system and just having a more normal experience to it?
Yeah, I think this year was there's definitely a lot going on as far as you know, training camp. It was kind of a whirlwind with all the new stuff happening, and I think it'll be nice. It'll be a little more comfortable, familiarity obviously between, you know, us and Lindy, and just us as a group too. I think it's going to be, you know, that comfortability, and I don't know how different it will be, but I think probably just a little more comfortable.
What gives you confidence that the people leading this organization can finally guide this team to the playoffs and beyond?
Well, I think if you don't have confidence, you shouldn't be here, right? So, like, I believe in, you know, Kevin and Lindy and everyone up front making the decisions. They're going to put together what they think is the best team and the best roster, and it's our job to go on the ice and do it. Obviously, it's been 14 years, and we haven't won, so ultimately it falls on the guys playing the game. So you go back to the accountability thing, looking in the mirror. So I have a lot more that I can do to help our team win and be more consistent, and so do a lot of other guys in that room. So I do have full faith that management and coaches are going to make the right decisions that they believe are going to help our team win, and it's our job to go out on the ice and do it.
That is Tage Thompson, 40-goal scorer for the Sabres at Locker Cleanout at the end of their season. We have a lot more Locker Cleanout audio that will be coming to you later on today, inevitably leading up to Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams. But we're going to take a quick timeout here. We'll be right back with more Sports Talk Saturday on the other side. I'm Joe Calley. That Derek Kramer joined today. You're listening to WGR. Last segment of hour number two here on Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Kelly's been running the show, running as point man here, letting him try to work this in. And like every single one of us, he has destroyed the 1250 segment, which is, you know, it's a time-honored tradition at this point. I've done it. Nate's done it. Who hasn't done it? Who hasn't butchered this segment to where now we're in for a couple seconds and we're out of here? But when we come back, Joe and I will run a mock draft simulator, the last mock draft simulator, where we will be the ones making all the picks. There's no simulator. We're just mock drafting it, baby. But we're going to do it with, of course, that brain rot music. Furthermore, John Ledyard at 1:30, as we will talk with him about the Steelers as well as the NFL draft. John's one of the real ones. When draft Twitter started becoming a thing, John was one of those people, and I'm going to be so happy to talk with him again coming up at 1:30. Extended Sports Talk Saturday as Sabres Locker Cleanout will continue on here. Joe Calley, I'm Derek Kramer. This is WGR.